Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as the community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stutzer.
And good to be here with you, my friend.
All right. So we are wanting to talk about the science and art of church planting, or maybe to put it differently, what is the difference? Let's talk about science versus art of church planting.
Well, you know, when you look at the field of missiology, there's always a sense that there is some science to it. It's literally the discipline. Like, for example, I did my PhD dissertation studying the 602 church planters over several year period. And I asked the question, if they did this, what was the result on their attendance and their conversions and their self-sufficiency and more? So that's clearly science. So then you look at that and say, okay, so if a church planter goes, I'll give you one of the more fascinating stats. If this is, you know, what is this, 15 years old now. So back then people were still debating whether I should go to boot camps and basic training. So we looked at if you went to boot camp and basic training. Now, most of my sample was all seminary grads. So it was all recent seminary grads, half of whom went to boot camp and basic training after a three-year MDiv. You know, it wasn't 3 years in a lot of cases. You know what I mean. It's a three-year program squeezed into five in my case. So so then we compared those who went to a three-day boot camp versus those who did not. So it's 3 years plus 3 days or 3 years without 3 days. And compared the two and found a statistically, I mean, big difference between, I'm trying to remember, but I think it was twice the size after 4 years. So what does that tell you? That means that you should encourage church planters. This is the science. You should encourage church planters to go to boot camp. That the wonderful 3 years of seminary where you learn hermeneutics and Old Testament, they're super helpful, but they don't answer the question, maybe all the questions that a church planter would want to answer. Now, that does not mean to say that, for example, people who go to boot camp could be more motivated to learn about church planting. There's 100 reasons that could happen. But so that's some of the science. And then that's things you encourage church planters to do. But then there's also things that you you do as a church planter. So, for example, you want to send out mailers, let's say, and you'll ask the question, what's, every church planter has asked this question, what's the typical response on a mailer? If I send out 50,000 mailers, what percentage of people might check out the church? Will I see a bump in web page address? If I mean, you do this on Facebook ads, right? Mm-hmm. What percentage of people will click? And then you have A-B tests. You run two different ads. You see who. So that's kind of all the science stuff of it. And that does matter. Now, the challenge is, historically, the church growth movement, and that's actually a movement, so capitalize those words, CGM, church growth movement. It really focused on missiology at first under like Donald McGovern. Under Peter Wagner, it became more Western culture, maybe American focused. And at some point, it became almost methodological mania.
Yeah.
And this goes back for a while. You know, you, for example, if you get one leader, you'll get, like, there's a thing called Flake's formula, right? You get one leader in Sunday school, you'll have seven new people going to Sunday school. It's more than that, but that's Flake's formula. That's 100 years old. So so then that kind of continues today. And people think this way. And it's not bad or sinful or whatever. It's okay, so if I want to have 30 people in small groups, I need three small group leaders. If I need three small group leaders, I probably need to ask 10 people. So three will say yes. And so that's part of the science. It's formulas. It's strategies. This drives some people crazy who think you shouldn't think about any of those things. And, you know, it's all, you know, pragmatic or pragmatism. And I would say it can be. Remember what I said earlier, the church growth movement became methodological mania. And that was, you know, I mean, everything was a formula. But here's the reality. Yeah, there's science to it, but there's also an art to it. And I might even say a fresh move or the wind of the spirit, but let's use the term art since that's how it framed it. So the art is, you know, who are the first few people you engage? They're probably going to determine who you're engaging in your first 100 or the leadership gifting of the planter or the relationship between the husband and wife or 100 other things. And I got to tell you, I've seen some of the, and we see this because we, let's say we take, I can name names, but I don't want to embarrass anybody. We take people who've really been effective at planting a church. They go down the road, they're not effective in their next location because it didn't line up. John Wooster talks about this, and he tells his story when he actually, you know, started down this road, planted this church here, and Rick Warren said to him, well, maybe you're just not the right fit. Well, he looked like the right fit. I mean, he's got church planting experience, moved him down the road, was very successful. So this is where kind of the art, or I would say the non-mechanistic, the non-scientific comes in. And a lot of that really has to do with just how God's working. And this is where I don't even want to call it art. I want to call it the sovereign move of God. Because if God wants this to happen, and how God wants this to happen will happen. And even if your scientific formulas are all messed up, and I think ultimately that's part of what church planters have to learn to develop. They have to learn to rely upon the work of the Holy Spirit. I've heard pastors talk about kind of surf the waves of the work of the Holy Spirit. That's language came out of the Jesus People movement. And I think there's truth to that. And be kind of molded as a person so that God can use you. So I've been concerned, you know, you and I love conferences. We love church planning conferences. Mm-hmm. We're for church planning conferences. But they've almost, in many ways, become trade shows. And now, again, let me say, I run a conference called Amplify that has trade show-like feel. But, you know, trade show is, here's 50 tools to plant your church. We got databases. We got mailers. We got flyers. We got all this sort of stuff. And they're all good. I'm for all of them when used well. But it almost became like Insta-church, just add water. And that's when the science takes over. And when the art, or if I could use the wind of the Spirit in that way, is more present and evident, well, we're looking to see what God's doing. We're responding in obedience, saying, here I am, Lord, send me. We're living on mission in ways that might not produce a statistical formula, but honors Jesus in what we do. So what I would say that I'm not against the use of tools. I'm literally a researcher. But I'm for trusting the prompting of the Holy Spirit, walking in obedience, living in missional ways, even in ways that don't produce formulas that produce growth, because I believe God honors that. But God's math is different. You know, if we reap, we'll sow. God's math is different. If we sow, we'll reap. And so that's kind of the distinction between the two. Yeah. And too many church planters get caught up with the statistical tools, which again, Ed Stetzer is for statistical tools. And I would just say that quiet reliance and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, can we do both? Can we chew and walk? Can we chew gum and walk at the same time? I think so. I want us to be discerning, innocent as doves and wise as serpents. And I think that's a good metaphor. Innocent as doves means just that full on commitment and trust in the Lord. And then wise as serpents means we try to use the best tools to use the best science we can in church planning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me of the difference between doing and being, right? I mean, there's the doing side, which is the science side, which is the research in the neighborhood and finding venues and figuring out, okay, if I do this, you know, this type of launching, like a lot of the stuff that we've written about in planting missional churches, there's a lot of these mechanics and systems, and it feels good, right? It feels good to check it off, I mean, you got it, right? You have to have that side of it, but there's the being side where it's hard to check off, right? But there's this tangible reliance on the Holy Spirit in praying and fasting and coming before Him, where if God doesn't move, it doesn't matter what we plan or what we do or what we prepare. If God is not in it and we are not seeking the will of God in this and on our knees praying for the salvation of this neighborhood, then what use is the science?
Yeah, no question. And I would say too, it depends on what meeting you go to almost, right? So in places that are heavily practical, I want to say, and sometimes I feel like I'm that guy who gets to speak, I got to speak at a conference and these super practical conferences, I say, you need to teach and preach the word of God. You need to rely on the Holy Spirit. You need to pray more. And then I go to places where they teach and preach the word of God. They rely on the Holy Spirit and they pray a lot. And I say, you got to think through some of these things strategically. Yeah, yeah. And so I just think both matter. And it grieves me that that we have a tendency to over rely on one or the other. I think we can find that right path. And I do think if I could say, you know, I think in planting missional churches, we do that. We say that at several times. We start talking about biblical, talk about missional, talk about spiritual. These are key things that we lay out. Even though it's a book on church planning, some people say to me, why you put that in there? I can get that in, you know, another book. Yeah, but I don't want you to forget that that's central to the work of Christ in the planting of his church. It is a biblical, missional, theological, spiritual endeavor. And I think we need all of those things.
Yeah. Now, what about the issue of contextualization, right? Because there are some who, yes, I mean, if we're talking about planting missional churches, we wrote it predominantly within a Western sort of context, and especially when it comes to the science part of church planting, we really do need to take context into consideration. No,
yeah, for sure, and I think ultimately this is where missionaries have failed historically, right? They got on a boat and they went to places and they were prayed up and they were Bibled up and they were spiritually ready and missiologically unprepared. And they got there and they loved the Lord, but they ended up exporting Western culture. They didn't do the hard work of missiological exegesis to know the how of church planting is in many ways determined by the who, when, and where of culture. And so I think that if we see that among missionaries around the world, and we do, we've got 2,000 years of challenges, some great successes, but 2,000 years of missiological misfires. So if we see that overseas, we'd expect that here as well. So it's, again, it's harder work to think through the fullness of missiological exegesis and contextualization in addition to, and that's part of where, you know, even formulas we talk about, Flake's formula, that's a very Western thing. My guess is you'd want to think differently about that among the Maasai in Africa. Mm. But doing the homework, so you can see God do the Spirit work, those two things together. I mean, think about the language Paul writes. You know, I planted, Apollos watered, God caused the growth. I mean, there's intentionality in all of those steps, and it matters.
Love it. Well, thanks so much for listening into today's episode. We thank you so much for that. We want to encourage you to share this episode with a friend that is in the middle of church planting or praying about it or thinking about it, particularly on the early end, because this episode really does address a lot of the nuances they are going to be thinking about. Well, thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time.